Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Strip Drawl. I'm here with Fred, just Fred and Dave this time, throwing things back and forth, just like we used to. I see you're in a pretty nice room. I think you told me earlier you were in Rhode Island. Now your microphone.
Yes, sir, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. That's on the West Coast, right? Right above Portugal?
Pretty much.
No. We were talking with Josh, and I think it was Cobes, and we brought up that motto, like, hard times make hard men, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go back, because we tell everybody that we've been together for like 20 years, which we have. The topic for today that I want to talk to you about is, like, what is success meant in our lives now compared to what it was 20 years ago? And if you remember, success for us 20 years ago was simple.
Yeah.
It was. We were shaving down guitars, trying to find John Mayer tone, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, perspective changes for sure as you get older. I think that's the one thing that I can't say enough to younger men is, like, you just have to go through it. I can't tell you how to, you know what I mean? I think we had the analogy about 20-year-old athletes making millions of dollars. And I can tell you what I would do with it because I'm 40. But you can never understand that viewpoint at 20 with $10 million because you can catch football. There's nothing I can tell you, especially because I hadn't lived through it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe an older football player could tell you that, but it's still so hard to impart wisdom on the younger generations because wisdom comes with experience, not with listening per se, you know? Yeah. You know, reading books helps and stuff, but you still got to experience it.
Well, I mean, if you're 20 years old with $10 million in the bank, you're going to even read a book. You're probably going to write a book. You know, I made it.
Right, right. And so it's just it's a dear spot in my heart, men's health, young men, helping them to not fall into the pitfalls of what society has set up for them. But I can only speak to men, I can only connect to men in the ways that I know, right? In my, through my experiences. I can't tell a guy about what it's like to be an astronaut or a pilot, you know. I don't know. But what I can tell you about some of the basic core things about what a man is and what's successful, they ring true no matter what arena you're in.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Obviously, when we were 20, the biggest success you could do is, first of all, accomplishing our job, like, better than the next guy. That was a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was whatever relationship we were in. And then there was whatever hobbies we had. And if we did all those things successfully, we were doing it, you know?
Well, do you think, so you said three things, relationship. So you started with profession.
Yeah.
And I like to do this with you because I kind of know how your mind works. And usually you go in priority mode. And the number one thing would be the profession. And then family. And then hobbies. Do you think it's still the same today? Like, you're 40.
Yeah, it is for me today. I think it was different back then, maybe. I was just kind of thinking about it. It might have been a little bit different for me. I can't be the family man I want to be or take care of the people I need to take care of without the means to do it.
Yeah.
So as much as I love and care for this or that or this person or my mother or whatever, if I don't do the things I have to do to make money to help them through life, then caring is great. You know, I got an uncle that's broke, you know, like, I love him, but he's of no use to anybody except for whoever he can, you know, maybe lift the couch for or something, you know, like,
yeah.
And I don't want to be in that place to where people can't use me. Is that, I guess that sounds silly, but like, I'm not of use, you know, that may as well be dead if I'm not of use. So,
yeah. Well, I think the term use me, excuse me, the term use me has a negative connotation to it. Cause it sounds like, in today's rhetoric, there's, when somebody is to use up Fred, that means Fred doesn't have boundaries and all these things. It's like, no, I have my boundaries.
Right. Using but me that was, means, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the perfect thing. Cause there's a youthfulness and an immaturity and a lack of boundaries.
Yeah.
Right. That's exactly right. So when I was 20 years old, I had no boundaries.
Yeah.
And I found myself emptying myself out over and over again. I was built for that, so it didn't kill me instantly, but.
Yep. Right there with you. Yep.
Now that I'm in this place, I have a very keen ear to somebody who's here to use me or to just kind of, you know, like, nope, I'll cut it off right there. That's good enough, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll take the first step to figure that out. I won't assume that you're doing that, but.
Well, I want to. So we talk about like success in today's world, like where we are. We're 40 years old. There's people that rely on us for life. Like that's real. Yeah. I have a house here. I have a kid. I've got a wife. There are things like they need me. And I do believe that we get caught up in because there's all this social media terms and slogans and all this stuff like nobody should ever need you. You should never need anybody. Or it's like, no, there's nothing wrong with that. But especially between man and woman, obviously it's there between, you know, me and my child. He needs me right now because he cannot function. He's 9 years old, but there's some things he does. He doesn't know taxes. He doesn't know how to drive. He doesn't, you know, so he needs me. When it goes into more of the spiritual sense between my partner and I, it's like, no, they need me. Your mom in this, you know, scenario, your mom needs you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong. And it's not like belittling ourselves or to say like your mom in your situation, she uses you for these things. Yes, she does.
Yeah.
Cool. We're just calling it for what it is. Doesn't mean that she's broken. It doesn't mean any of that. It's just, I'm in her life. We have had this conversation and she needs me for certain things. Right. So tying back to like success, what is success in today's world? Some people would say like, well, and I kind of went down this path as well, where it's like success for the longest time meant having money. And then I was like, I don't, you know, I really don't want money, but it's like, you know what? This is the world. You need money. End of conversation. Yeah. So like, that's why Fred has to travel around to different cities every week so he can make that money. And now you're about to do something even bigger. You're going back to the Middle East.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, what's the reason for it?
I need more money. Yeah. This time it'll be different because I have objectives. I have relationships I need to take care of. And I have goals that I need to build towards, you know. Yeah. So it's just different, you know. I'm not going there just as me now. More things matter to me. So, and obviously after living there for so long, I know how to do it and not break the bank, you know what I mean? Like I can live pretty frugally and still enjoy myself. So
yeah,
it seemed like the best option considering what I have on my plate right now.
Yeah. And as men, we have to like the biggest thing that we all have is time. Cause right now we're 40. We can remember back and it's fast when we were 20. We have time, but you understanding your value of time, but it's like, I have to go do this thing. So it's, I'm going to subject my time in order to make this money because that's what I have to do.
Yeah. I made the realization that the job I'm doing right now, I can do this in 10 years and be just as successful. But in 10 years, I may not be able to go back overseas and make better money. So
yeah,
it just is what it is. So I'm willing to do that to see the goal through and to try to springboard myself into a different living situation, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So let's just tear the question open and I'm going to throw it to you. What does success mean to you?
Success means, sorry, I heard some banging. Success to me is being righteous as a word and within right standing of the people or situations that I'm in. So success with my mother means being the son she needs, taking care of the things she needs, not letting her want without me being able to do something about it. That's a successful son. At work, being a top performer. You know, this year I was the top performer. That's success. In my relationships, you know, being useful, being what I need to be, not being perfect. Mm-hmm. Success and perfection are not necessarily, you know, but being vulnerable, being able to adjust on the fly and being available, being useful, you know, just that's success in that arena. You know, success with my art, you know, photography, or music, I don't think I'm as successful, even though I'm better and better. You know, I just did a photo shoot last week, and I play live music every week, you know, so I'm better, but I'm not successful yet, you know.
What would success mean in that realm for you?
Honestly, for me, what it would take to be successful as an artist is to have a website or a portfolio that people could go to when they ask me.
Gotcha. Hey.
And it's like, yeah, I play a lot. I've been practicing, you know, but no, I have nothing to say for it. I can't say, hey, you can find me here, because I haven't established that yet. So part of going to the Middle East is I do want to focus on kind of getting some recordings put in and making a little bit of a YouTube channel just of when I play and stuff. So maybe I can be able to like get a gig somewhere, you know, show up to a bar, be like, hey, here's my link to my music. Can I play, you know?
How about you? Yeah, success. Success is just having a healthy house. As far as like the art side of it, I think when it comes to art, it's like being able to express yourself fully and not really having to explain yourself. To me, that's what art is. And if you've stepped, like for me in this house, the things that I do, so you don't have to explain yourself. If you've established enough trust with your partner and with, it's like my kid is at school. He's in third grade, right? And he said, Dad, we had some free time at school. So what I did was I looked you up on Google and I was like, what do you mean you looked me up on Google? And he's like, yeah, I looked you up. And I said, did it show my, like, what was it? He was like, well, I looked up Writing Raw and I was seeing like the pieces that you type on your typewriter. And I was like, what? Like that? You shouldn't be able to see that stuff at school, big bro. But yeah, it's the ability just to express yourself just fully. And that's something I'm very blessed because I have been able to do that. With Jay, she's very accepting of it. With Gray, you know, if I need to spend some time doing that stuff. So like on the art side, I think a lot of it is just the freedom just to create.
Yeah.
I've learned pretty fast that it, like the whole, the follower stuff, that stuff doesn't matter. Like a lot of that stuff doesn't matter. The numbers, the people that like give you love on these, like, I mean, you appreciate it, but.
Yeah, man. It's such a weird thing, this idea of fame and popularity that you were sold it as a kid. You were told this, you know, and it's just always been like the tip of the spear to be famous. And it takes people forever to realize being famous sucks when you can't go to the grocery store.
Yep.
Or when you can't get into an argument with your wife.
Yep.
Or you can't ever, you know, honk your horn in traffic and get pissed at somebody. Like everything is under the eye of other people who you don't even know. And especially in this internet age, having people speak into your life and tell you what they think you should be able to do. Like, bro, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm a grown man.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'm not here to act for you or to make you feel comfortable about.
Sure.
So yeah, fame. And then when you do study and analyze some of the horror stories of fame, as we grew up, time was Full House. Do you remember them two Olsen twins?
Yep.
And you can look at their life story and it's like, is that what you would even want for your kids?
Right.
You know, like, not necessarily.
That's it.
You know,
exactly.
And they have mastered money. They don't have money problems, but that means they have other problems.
Yeah.
Problems rich people have, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I want to be rich, but I don't want to be famous. So I don't want any of that whatsoever. Yeah. And that's something like listening to, you know, Grayson talk about these things, the 9-year-old. I said, what do you want to do when you grow up? And he says, well, Dad, I want to be a YouTube star. And that's what all the kids are aspiring to be. They want to be YouTube stars.
Right.
So what makes that so cool to you? It's like, well, people know you. And it's like, well, what happens when people know you? Because you could have 100,000 people who know you, but none of them are helping you pay your bills. You know, they're not buying into these things.
Right.
And that's another thing when it comes to like success. Think about this, man. And this is one of my driving points. We were told when we were growing up to aspire to be whatever you wanted to be. We watched the first Space Jam movie when it came out with Michael Jordan, right? Sure. And he's out there in the beginning of the movie and he's like shooting that basketball and he tells his dad, like, Dad, I want to, you know, play basketball. Do you think I could do it? And his dad is like, just dream. Just keep dreaming. And that's the motto that we grew up with, Dream. And there's nothing wrong with dreams. I think dreams are a very beautiful thing. And it's like, if that's what you want to do, you want to be a YouTube star and you're still trying it until you're 40 years old, then you can keep doing that. But at some point, I would imagine that you're going to want kids, but you're working as a side job as a barista at a Starbucks. And that woman is going to want to have your kids, you know, she's like, so what do? Do you have health insurance to even pay for this pregnancy? It's like, no, I've been chasing my dream because that's what I was told my entire life.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm working on it. And I'm 40 now. It's like, will she want to have kids with you? And it's, at some point, it's like, is it okay? And this is finally like, these are the conversations I'm having with him now. It's like, it's okay to be a welder. It's okay to have that profession, be an electrician. To be a garbage man, because to me, success isn't by the title on the whatever wish dream that you went after all these years. The term for success is when you can come home and your family is there and they're happy to see you and everybody's healthy. Right. That's what success is now to me.
So I think a big part of success is not necessarily taking it from an outside perspective, but looking on the inside. You know, because then like monks, success is different to a monk.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody who does yoga every day, or somebody who, you know, was born into politics or royalty, or, and you could. And I just think it doesn't quite work in America. Like in other countries, you do what your dad did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dad made clocks. I'm a clockmaker. Yeah. Now we have Rolex. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But in America, it's like our culture is rebellion. If my dad is from Philadelphia and he was a mine worker, I'm going to, as soon as I can, move to San Francisco and learn how to do surfing.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Right? Yeah,
like I'm break out and do my own thing. America is about venturing out and stepping away from the family roots, and you know what I mean. And so, there's some joy in that I just don't understand, honestly, because my dad was a mechanic. I'm a mechanic. You know, like I still have those old traditional style. You know, and I've been to countries. I've been to Canada where people live with their parents well into their 30s. I've been to South America where families stay together the whole time.
Generations.
All the generations stay together. You know, I've been to Saudi, where generations stay together, you know, and Korea, you know, and it's like, so living in America, we define our success by, I guess, what more can we do, or how much better we can be than the last generation. But in another country, success could be picking up the family business and keeping it alive for another generation.
Or even in the,
Keep going.
Go ahead
with it. You got it.
Well, it's like here, Jay and I, we're in Virginia and we have no family around us. Cause it's just like you said, I'm going to break away from whatever the family thing was doing. And I'm going to make myself, reinvent myself, my future. Uh-huh. So we're here now, got two boys on the way and it's like, all right, we need to, we're a little bit older now. Can't get up like we were when we were 25 in the middle of the night for these two hungry little nunchucks that are about to push out. So let's get a night nurse. Uh-huh. And the night nurse is making $55 an hour. So we'll be spending thousands of dollars on a night nurse. But if we were in South America, like you were saying, and our families, we all live in the same house, the grandma would get up in the middle of the night, probably take care of the kids, or you would learn from them about these things.
Which is our family dynamic that we're trying to build as me and my brothers, at least when we're on better terms. Currently, we're not. But it's like this idea that why don't we just all get back to like a family compound type position? Just like Yellowstone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just mom, she wants to take care of grandkids. She wants to be sheltered. She wants to be around her family. I want to be next to my brothers. I want to see my nephews and nieces more often. I want to help build things. I want my dad to have a boat, but we can do that all together, or we can still struggle in separate arenas, you know? And so very much, that's what I would love. That would be a successful family picture to me, is not necessarily, I don't care much about the part about making my kids rich, but more about the part of giving the kids the option to grow up close to their cousins, because some of our dearest relationships as kids were with our cousins, but they were hours away. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so.
But I think a lot of people, they, I don't know if they're scared of it here in the States, but it's, if you live in a house with the in-laws and the moms and the dads, it's like they're encroaching on my peace and my identity. So I can't have that.
But that's just a lack of communication in my
opinion. I think so.
Yeah. Like I told my mom and my brother lived together for a while and they would get into little spats. And I'm like, you know, if y'all were just 10% more honest with each other, just tell them what you really don't like. Just don't do this anymore. I don't like this part. You know, instead of walking around on eggshells, you probably find a better path to walk with each other where you know, hey, don't step on this. I won't step on that. Like my brother, if he doesn't want, like he doesn't like affection, but my mom is a big hugger, right? So every time he comes home, rather than telling her that, he has to deal with this 5 minutes of being hugged. Like I'm 30, leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, but just a little more honesty could change the situation, you know? And so, and I, me and my mom, I'm real honest with her. I tell her what it is. I tell her who I am. I allow her to be who she is. But there are things that, like, I hate when I'm on the phone with her and then she starts to get me to say hello to somebody else. No, I don't want to talk to anybody else.
I called
not
you.
My sister, not my cousin. I don't want to talk to nobody. I'm only here to talk to you. And I'm back, you know what I mean? Like, but that's an honest thing you just have to have, you know? I don't know how we got on that topic, but yeah, a little bit of honesty.
Well, that comes with success as you get older and you start, you know, well, it's
successful relationships.
Yeah. By understanding the boundaries, just like calling things for what it is.
Yeah.
True. And in like South America, having the boundaries. Because if you did live in, let's say, a 10 bedroom house and you got your grandparents and your mom and your dad and your sister and her kids, and people have to be more transparent with each other. You know, don't let me work for it. In today's American society is, I'm going to come over to mom and dad's just for Thanksgiving. So I'm going to bite my tongue the whole time. They're going to talk about politics. I'm going to get upset because I'm not in control of my emotions. And when we leave, I can vent in the car the whole way home about this was bullcrap because of this. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds pretty typical.
Right. And then all we do is we just need more space. So we buy things to give us more space, these over the top SUVs. And I think about it when I'm driving home from work and it's always, you know, gridlock on 495. And I'm just as bad. You know, I've got this Tahoe. It's just me in it commuting back and forth to work. And I'm in this big SUV and I'm looking around me. And there's just one person in every car, you know, but we all have to have our space.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of programs out there where it's, you could ride in a van that departs from your city with 10 other strangers to get to where you need to go. But it's like, no, I need my space because I don't want to breathe anybody else's air.
Well, yeah, no, that's the difference again between like in Bolivia, per se, when they travel. Or I was just in Peru and it's like public transport, you know, like obviously everybody's got cars as well, but it is a nightmare.
Right.
A nightmare. The number of people in that city. Get on the bus, you know, it's just a normal thing, you know.
Yeah. But success here in the States is I can drive in that Tahoe by myself. So you drive to this job that leaves you empty. You get stuck in this traffic that leaves you empty just so you can go home and pay for these bills. Whereas you could work in a job, that's going back to the artist side of it. Imagine if you could just play gigs or just be a full-time photographer and get paid to do that.
Yeah.
And then if you are stuck in traffic, it's like, well, these 8 or 10 hours out of this 24-hour day that I just spent doing my job, if you will, you feel a lot more at peace, at whole.
Yeah. So then as a whole metric, remember we were talking about the saying is, and I always seem to mess it up too, Google the same, but it's something along the lines of good times make weak men. Weak men make hard times. Hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Right? And so that cycle is true in every part of life, not just what presidency you're in right now. Right? if you're in the gym, you need to have some pretty tough times in the gym in order for you to come out on the right end of that cycle as a good gym participant, so to speak. You know, if you don't have hard times in the gym, you can never rise at the good version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just having fun in the gym, having a good time, not really working, then you'll always be the weaker version of yourself when you get out. So it's the same, just in any cycle of life. If you want to write better, you want to write more, turn off the TV, force yourself to look at a typewriter for a year. That's hard times. And what comes out of it? A website, a podcast, you know, like good things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you would have taken the easy road, drank yourself to sleep every night, watch videos, movies, eat pizza, just
keep scrolling, right? Babe. Just keep scrolling. Right?
Then you would just be on the other side. You would have taken the good times, which would have led you to becoming the weaker man.
Mm-hmm.
But you chose the hard times, which hard times are followed by strong men, right? So, yeah. Again, yeah.
That model is good, like as a whole society, if you will. But it's so easy for, and since, I mean, a lot of this is targeting towards the male, it's so easy for them not to have to do the hard times, at least not on the surface level, if you will. It's mm-hmm. too easy for them to grab that number six on the way home with the extra cheese and plop that video game in when they get home. So they don't have to go to the gym. And they're like, to me, and I think, so we're about to go down this rabbit hole, that's where masculinity is lost in today's society anyways. Because there's so many guys out there who are saying, well, that's not my problem. I'm not going to deal with it. I mean, you're talking about, we work with them, 40-year-old guys who are like, they won't even listen to this podcast. I try to get them like, hey, man, let me try to like motivate you. These are guys we work around with 8 or 10 hours out of a day.
Well, you know, so the thing is like, what's right for you isn't necessarily right for everybody. It's the 80-20 rule. You know what I mean? And if you find success and happiness in virtual reality, and it truly is what makes you happy, I'm not here to piss in your Wheaties.
No.
You know, again, we all built different. We all are at different points in our lives. If it wasn't for the hard times you went through, you wouldn't be here right now.
Correct. Here's my problem with it. This is where you and I can go back and forth. What used to be, let's say, when I say that you and I, we grew up together for 2 decades, 20 years now. It's not just you were my neighbor next door. We worked with each other. I spent more time with you than I have with my kid, my wife, or anybody else, okay? Yeah. What used to be, if we were to take a sample of 10 guys, we worked around a lot of guys. 10 guys, there was probably one or two guys that would go and...
what did you do?
I don't know. Balloons.
Let's see if this works.
No. I don't know what just happened.
You just
got balloons. See, so nice. It's thanks, it's dude. Like where I'm going with this. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
But 10 or 20 years ago, out of a group of 10 dudes, there would be two guys who would go home and play the video games in order that number six. But today, out of a sample of 10 guys, it's no longer two. Now it's four, it's five. So we're going in this trajectory, this bad way, if you will. Does that make sense?
Well, that's part of it is video games have advanced. Social media and technology have advanced.
It has.
We started the workforce right before the iPhone came out.
Yeah.
We still had text T9
mm-hmm.
when we entered the workforce. Video games wasn't popping that much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Technology.
It was a hard shift. We digressed as a society as technology increased. Mm-hmm. And then we had comebacks. So that's when, like, after we spent that whole time with society pushing towards technology, there was a correction, and that's when, like, yoga and vegans and all of that stuff pushed back. That's why it's five, because I would have said more like 8 out of 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Of those eight guys, three of those guys realized, well, this is crappy. Let me figure something else out. And so, yeah, it's probably more like five guys. Yeah.
But. Okay. So five guys, as time goes on, it keeps increasing. Now, just what if, and I think it's going to go in this direction. In 10 more years, out of a sample of 10 guys, or, you know, how they live their life is a lot easier. It'll be not just five, but it'll be seven or eight. Because technology is going to continue to advance. Let's say veganism, going camping, when Yellowstone is no longer the number one hit show and guys don't want to wear cowboy boots anymore, right?
Yeah, that'll never happen.
But as time goes on, it's like it was a fad. So let's get back to these easy ways. We talked about it. But this was
I don't think that's true, bro. The society is advancing in every different way. Vegans are more vegan. Yoga does more yoga. Video games play more video games. And they are multiplying in their own respects. Mm-hmm. We're leveling out. So as we get more technology, we're going to have more people like, bro, I'm going to go live underground. I'm going to live off the grid. Because we're figuring it out. You know, the one thing that we are getting is information. And we're realizing, like everybody talks about it, we weren't made to have this many social interactions in 24 hours or this many dopamine hits in 15 minutes as you get from social media. And as the studies continue to grow, people are making their own scientific decisions to not be a part of it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
People are falling into it. People are like, no, I'm just getting away from it, you know? And I'm probably leaning more towards that side of like, my dream retirement is somewhere past the edge of the internet. You know, somewhere where you don't necessarily need a cell phone all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah. I think we're stabilizing, man, because there's people like us out here. And there are people who are trying this way or that way. And it's not until you fail that you really grow. Right?
Well, I mean, how would you fail?
Video games have been working. But if you lose a relationship while you're playing video games, that's a failure, right? Or if you get a bad medical report because you sit around playing video games too much, and you're like, I really got to do something,
mm-hmm.
or I'm just going to die here eating cheeseburgers. That's a change, right? But we as humans, we have to learn the hard way. It's like impossible to learn it without the hard way. Mm-hmm. It's inhumane. It's inhumane. Inhuman. To learn
inhuman.
The easy way. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It's got to be the hard way. So that's the way we do it. So it's just waiting on people to break, you know, not necessarily, but like waiting for people to hit their breaking point. And then that's when you can be there for them. People find new religions. People find new diets. People find new habits. All of that after they break, you know. And so if it's the easy lane for 40 years and then they finally realize, man, I could be X, Y, and Z. You see all these people now who are 50 and 60 with six-pack abs and gray hair, like, you know, they realize later, you know what, I don't have to be fat and ugly. I can, you know, or whatever, yeah. Right? Hell yeah, you know? So we have so many different ways society is going, and they're all growing, you know, exponentially. So I don't think it's going to be a bigger number. I think it may be a smaller number because something hasn't been invented yet that will be invented in 10 years. That will make pull another group of people this way. You know, it might be like flying cars or something. People start becoming pilots. And it's like, yeah, I don't have time for video games. I'm in a real flight simulator because I'm a flying taxi driver, you know, or whatever. So,
yeah. Well, your whole emphasis here is that it's all trending in the way it's supposed to right now. It's all happening.
Yeah. I think supposed to is a weird word for me. In that, because I've driven through desolate third world countries and saw people walking on the side of the road with the kid. And I'm thinking, man, you don't realize how good your life is.
Right.
You know, like.
Simple.
I was in Peru. There's a coastal town right on the water. And they had cows and they had corn. That were the two products in that town. Everybody lived in a little shack, do what you have to do during the day, no TVs. And I'm thinking, You just don't know how good it is for the whole community to gather around a campfire, you know, at mm-hmm. night. And that's the entertainment. And you know your neighbors. And you can trust that your kids won't get snatched up if they go outside. You know, like,
yeah.
Are we really doing it right?
Well, that's the huge. So it's like us growing up. I mean, I grew up in until I was 9. I moved down to Tennessee, but I mean, I would go out on my bikes all day, and that's still in the '90s. I mean, you couldn't do that now.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You can't
unless you live on the own base, or you mm-hmm. live in a cul-de-sac, or you know, or you got a gated community. Like you just can't. You can't ride a bike as a kid in certain parts of certain Alexandria, like yeah. north of Old Town there. It gets a little rough right now, you know what I mean? Or yeah. too far south down Route 1, it starts to get a little shucky, you know? So, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know that we're doing it right. I don't know that first world is the best way to live your life. I know we have pathetic problems. First world issues are really pathetic, you know? I know that much. Very pathetic, you know. If social media posts ruin your day, you don't have a very difficult life,
right?
You know, you don't really know what difficulty is. If that's all it takes is, you know, a meme, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Soft.
SOF Captain T, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have. We're not built the same as like my grandfather. 40 years ago, 50 years ago. It's not the same.
Yeah.
People had thicker skin. You know how long it's taken me to understand? You know, it's like, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm just going to do this thing and live my life the best way I can, you know?
George Washington would have kicked my, you know, yeah. wooden teeth. Oh, snaps, right? You know, yeah. So it takes 30 years, if you're lucky, to figure out that you really don't have to worry about other people.
Mm.
You know,
that's a big part of success for me. So,
right.
Keep going. I think
part of that is because we are trained and raised by women typically in our school systems, in our daycares, mm-hmm. and women have a very egalitarian mindset. So they teach us to care about what other people think and feel. And that is important to some extent, but not as important as it is to just pave your way and be, you know what I mean? And so I write a lot, you know, and I kind of have this one saying, and it's like, I don't know if is it sexist or what, but it's just an observation that I made is that, it's like, men could very much run a daddy daycare very successfully too, because we can really rear some children and teach them some real deal life skills, right?
Mm.
However, a man who takes a job in a daycare does not make enough money to support a family. And thus, he is an underachiever, and I don't want him to imprint on my kid in a weird sense. And I know he can do it, it's just, bro, don't you have a family or something you want to take care of? Or you just...
So want to hang out? Yeah.
I hear you. Like, again, so... And I don't know if that's all factual, but it's just some observations I've been making. And that's one thing that I'm kind of wrestling with. Is it like... Because you can be whatever you want to be. But are you responsible for anybody? Are you taking care of anybody? Because you can be a young, rich asshole, and that doesn't make you a good man. Or you can be an old grandfather with no money, but everybody in your family loves having you around and they take care of you. They don't put you in a home. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And who would you say has got a wealthier life? You know?
Yeah.
And nothing but my family, and I have everything that I need and they love me and I love them. Or I have everything and nobody likes me. So anybody that's around me is here because they want something from me, not because they want me, you know? And that's like two extremes, right?
Right. But
I think part of being a successful man is you have to be responsible for something. Otherwise, you're just a boy, you know?
I agree. And it takes something outside of it's when you say you have to be responsible for something, it's I believe that we find our responsibility through something else before we find a responsibility in ourselves. Does that make sense? Like I will.
Yeah. You learn it. You learn it externally first. Hey, like your job, your first job or your first car or chores. And it's like, I'm telling my 8-year old to do these, brush his teeth and put his laundry in the laundry basket night again. And until he owns it, he's not responsible for it. You know what I mean? Which annoys me until he is. And then it's like, look, that little bit of responsibility is how you build more responsibilities. So once you start to accept those responsibilities, you got to do this. You got to do this. This is your bedtime schedule. You got to go to school. And I figured that out pretty early in life, growing up under a single mother. You know, responsibilities kind of kicked in around, I want to say, fourth, fifth grade. You know, and it was like we were getting in trouble if we weren't. Pretty big trouble if we weren't handling those things, you know. And then somewhere around freshman year, I realized how much more easy life is if I just do the responsibilities before I get asked to do them.
Yeah.
And that was a huge turning point in me and my mother's relationship when it was like, oh, I already know what I'm supposed to be doing. Or maybe I just won't make as big of a mess so I have less to clean up when it's time to, you know what I mean? Like things like that started to click, you know? And so, but.
Well, at that time you were starting to evolve as probably the man of the house too.
Well, you know, I mean, I have an older brother, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. It just was me doing my part though. This is my part, you know?
Yeah.
And it changed. Things changed. People looked at you different when you're responsible for something. My mom looked at me different. So I remember when I got into high school, I never had a curfew. I didn't really have many rules. My mom just trusted me.
Yeah.
All of the moms trusted me. That sounds weird now, but as a kid, I remember one of my best friends, John, his mom worked at a car dealership and we met because we were in class together. Right. So we must be the same age. In fact, I was a half year younger. So I graduated when I was 17. Everybody else was 18. So we go to his mom's house and she's got the Lincoln Navigator and we're like sophomores. And it's like six of us, you know, and she's like, all right, y'all can borrow the car. But Fred has to drive because he's the oldest. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. But I'm the youngest, but I'm the only one that's actually a responsible person.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thought I was older, you know? And I'm like, actually, I've met your son in class, so we're the same age almost.
Yeah.
He's actually a little older. But yeah, she thought I was the oldest. And I was like, yeah, I'm not. But I'm the most responsible, you know? Yeah.
Well, you're older emotionally and all those other.
Right, right. And so here I am, a sophomore, driving a 8-passenger SUV with all of my homies, you know? Safely, you know, we never got any accidents or anything like that. So,
right.
But yeah, that is how you become a man. You have to take care of the stuff before scheduled meetings. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Are the dishes done? Yes, I already put them in my dishes, already got finished. That's becoming a young man, you know, and then it amplifies once you got kids or a wife or you get a real career, you know, and so. That's part of it. You know, I'm not a yes man, but it's just, I'm here to do what I'm supposed to do. And then the rest of the stuff, I don't care about it. I will offend people. Not my job to make you feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the freedom that I have. That's the right that I have as a man to be offensive to some people successfully. You know, I go out with my friends and I'm like, you know, I'll punch that dude if you need me to. I don't know. Like, what's up? You all right? Are you? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm just here for the people I care about. The rest of y'all, we can butt heads all night. I won't make a difference to me.
Right.
It's cool if you like me. But if you don't, I'm still going to sleep the same. Because the people that I'm responsible for or responsible to, I'm in right standing with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they can trust me.
Yeah. And those are the people that invest into you as well.
Right. Right. And they should. Because I'm worth investing in. Because I've spent the time, put in the characteristics and everything else to be a man that's worth investing in, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of, I think, us being successful today. Like, what does success mean to me is if I needed somebody to come and handle something, and I know you would, that's success to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Having someone you can truly rely on.
Gladly move in the shade and handle some business for you.
Yeah.
You need somebody and you can't. You know what I mean? And it is what it is. And I'm a Christian man. Don't get me wrong. but love and loyalty, you know, I'm not here to be perfect, you know. And I have an issue when people mess with people that I care about.
Yeah.
I have a very big issue with that. And it's not perfect.
Well, I'm trying to think, like, when I gave that scenario right now in a section of 10 people, you know, five of them, they play video games all day, every day. And I know that I would never call on them to, they wouldn't be reliable in my sense, if you will.
Yeah.
And if they ever needed something from me, it would be like, I'm sorry, man, but you have invested in my future. I can't invest in your future. I got things I have to handle, you know. But
and that's what we differ right there, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those five guys, I would still, if they needed me for something, what's up, bro?
Yeah.
I don't expect this. I don't expect this to grow something between us. But if you need me to help you move a couch or
yeah,
whatever, I'm not going to jail for you. But,
right.
You know.
Well, that's what I mean. Like these big things, if you will. Yeah. but that's success in my world. Is I know that I have people by name, and it's a very hand select few that if I did need something, like no kid, if my kid needs something, yeah. If dad's getting hauled away to jail, like I know that this is the phone number I would call and I have somebody that'll be there to take care of him. That's success.
For sure, man. Work-wise, what do you call success? Is it not never working another day in your life, having a job like that? Is that your...
No, I went through a phase like that where it's like, I don't want to do this job anymore, but ultimately a job is a job and it pays for the bills and the health insurance and those things. So it is what it is. I'm able now and I'm very happy for this. I don't take it so emotionally. It doesn't drain me anymore. I don't get too invested. Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Because you see the big picture is no matter what I do, it'll be back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You're still not going to appreciate me as a mechanic.
Mm.
So
yep.
Let me just do what I have to do.
Yep.
Lock it in. I'm going to do good maintenance work. But I'm not going to cry about it.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sweat over it. Like
you're going to get what you need. I'm going to get what I need. And I'm going to be able to walk away.
Yeah. So, and that's a huge thing, you know. Now, when we were, I could distinctly remember a time when I was in tears just about. I was working for John Hughes. And we went out to do water screens on a phase jet. None of that matters to civilians, but we went out to do water screens. He took a crew of us young guys and he let somebody else do the work and didn't let me do it. And I was pissed off. I said, why you even bring me out here? If you're not gonna let me work, like, I don't wanna watch some guys suck at this. You know, yeah. I was hurt. Like, no, I'm the dude. He can watch, you know? I took it that personally, you know, because I respected him and I didn't think that he thought that I knew how to work or something. Like,
right.
I'm not here to, you know, and I still have a little bit of that in me. Like, don't waste my time. You want me to do something? Give me the work.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Don't waste my time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was almost in tears over that, man. It hurt me when he did that. I was like year one, you know, I'm trying to prove myself out here, you know? So, speaking of, I just got a text about a job to work 130s in Texas. So, keeping my options open.
We're at in Texas.
I like guns. You see what I'm saying? Here's the problem. I don't even know. I just thought it's in Texas, you know. And so, you know, I'm gonna miss my relationships, but I'm really gonna miss guns if I go back to the Middle East.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of having a gun built right now. You know, a nice piece. And I won't be able to hold it for at least 2 years. That doesn't feel good in my heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just have it shipped to the house. I'll hold on to it. There you go.
Yeah? You do that for me?
Oh, yeah. I got you.
America. But yeah. So I guess the key takeaways are success looks different at different ages. There's childhood success, being the number one running back on the flag football team.
Yep.
There's teenage success, being a responsible young man that I can tell, go take the trash out and do your homework and not have to ask you twice.
Okay.
There's the young man, young adult success, not having a DUI and maintaining a steady job, you know, or going to college and, you know, graduating.
Yep.
Then there's the, you know, everything after that is like responsibilities start to pile on. Start finding a woman you want to make a family with. Start finding a plot of land you want to build a house on. Start being the guy you need to be. But I think, so I think a lot of people fail in our arena because they have such stressed out or strained relationships with like parents or you know.
Life.
Yeah. Yep. Right? And so it's like you can't fully be the successful you if you still got these traumas that keep you from connecting with your blood. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that could be a failure because really when it's your last day, you know, these are the people that you want to be around you and your deathbed, you know? So hopefully, you know, so I think that could be seen as a failure is if, although me and my brothers aren't clicking right now, if they need me, I'm, you know, it is.
Oh yeah. That's
But yeah, you know, but also I got principles to stand on, you know, so it is what it is, but I love them. I will fight and die for them in a heartbeat. I will spend money, time, sweat, effort, whatever, to make sure that they can get to where they want to get to. And that won't change, you know? So I think that's a huge success that a lot of people don't have in America. Like you said, a lot of people are like, some go to mom's, bite my tongue, eat the turkey, get out of there.
Yeah.
That's not a successful family.
Right.
That's a successfully not making it to prison for murdering somebody situation. So, yes, you didn't go to jail, but it's not successful.
You're not truly living. In my, like, you're not truly living.
Right.
You're just existing, coexisting alongside each other.
And I'm not to say that it has to be specifically your mother or your father, per se, but a father figure, a mother figure that you can go to and be glad to be there. I love the father-in-law relationship to me is one of the coolest relationships. And as much as I love my dad, I also want this other man to know that I'm the dude that his daughter should be with. You know what I mean? Like, and my dad already knows, you know what I mean? But like, I got to prove it to this guy. He doesn't know me like that, you know? So I get along with dads real good because I'm a solid cat, you know? So.
Success, baby.
Success. It's a dynamic.
This was a successful conversation. Success.
Do you think it was successful? Did we nail it? Did we give takeaways that people can walk away with?
No, there's always takeaways. I think so. And even if we don't have it all figured out, it's an ongoing conversation, letting people know that we don't have it figured out, but we're willing to talk about it.
True.
That's the thing. That's the key thing right there.
I got it.
What took me long enough years to figure out was I don't have all the answers, but I have people around me that I can have the conversation so we can like pave the way.
How can you be successful? How do I put this? As a broken man.
How can you be successful?
What are successful? What's success look like? Not like for, I feel like we're successful.
And
we're a little broke, right? We're all a little broken. Right? Mm-hmm. But like, as a shattered man.
Well, I mean.
Success is like, just not, you know, sucks starting to rifle today. Like.
So, and we've lived together. There was times when I was broken. And if somebody was talking to me about being successful, remember, you sat across from me at this kitchen table right here behind me, and I was just crying and asking these questions. Successful to me goes back to having people around you that you can open up to. That's successful. That means you've done something in your life where it's like Fred didn't leave me at the table by myself. Like, all right, man, you're messing with my peace. I've got this hot thing lined up right now. It's like, I'm not leaving. That's success right there.
Yeah. I keep going back to that, though. You know, I think about it. It's easy to preach to the dudes that are high right now. Everybody's got their life together. But I don't want to forget the fellas out there who just got kicked in the nuts the hard way. You know what I mean? And it's like, what does success look like when you don't really care what tomorrow looks like? What can be successful about that?
Having breath for one more day, one more night. That's it. We've lived it. That's the thing. And it's something we always talk about when we come into these podcasts is we talk about where we were and like where we're at now, but it's still very fresh. And I mean, it's real. And
yeah, it still hurts.
Yeah. We're not covering it up.
Yeah. I think you have a good point, though. Yeah. So it only works as time passes.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you can't run from or run through. You just have to go through it. You can't speed up the process. Mm-hmm. You can't avoid it. It is a process that is required for a man to be made. And I apologize in advance. It is going to sting. But once you get through it, you'll figure something out about you and who you are and how you were made that will determine how you move forward in life as far as what you're aiming for.
Yeah.
Again, without those difficulties, I wouldn't be this person.
Well, it was through. So if you think about it, like these phases, like you said earlier, we're always evolving. We're always changing. When you were at your worst, it hurt. It hurt bad, right? Hurt really bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you started thinking about it. You started doing the work inside your head. And that's when you come up with some of these points and these ideas. And it's like, holy crap, you start having these epiphanies.
Yeah.
And it's like, that makes sense, at least for me. And that's fine because there's no one shoe fits all people. And you were coming up with points and writing in your journal and doing those voice notes. And you were like, I remember how excited you were. You're like, you got to listen to these voice notes. And I mean, you're crying into a phone, but you're like, these are things that I'm learning right now actively. And it was one of the most beautiful times. Like if I was to think about it, like right now I'm living pretty good. You know, I'm married. I've got a house. My kid's in there. He's drawing right now. Life is pretty good. It was also good when I was going through those struggles and figuring out the things to get me to this place right now.
Yeah.
Like here I am 36, 37 years old. And it's like, holy shit. I just now thought about that. Or man, I was really selfish. It's like, yeah, I'm calling myself out, you know?
Right. Say, nothing is either good nor bad. It's just the man think it so.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that in a book.
Say that again.
With words. Nothing is good or bad except for if a man think it so.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that story attached to it where it's like a guy and he's got a son and he's riding a mule home and they just had a whatever. Got their crops on the mule and the boy falls off the mule, breaks his leg and the guy's pissed off. Right? But the boy's 16, and the next day, the military comes to draft all the 16-year-olds. So then, was it bad that he broke his leg, or was it good? Because now he doesn't have to go to war. You know what I mean? Type of thing. You know, it's like, nothing's necessarily good or bad.
Perspective.
You just got to take a perspective on it. So.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
This was a good chat. I appreciate hanging out inside your hotel room.
No doubt.
Anything. Rhode Island. All right, hombre. I'll be talking to you later. Amen. I love you.
See you.
Later.